Thompson.
On the show today, we're chatting with three fabulous sales agents just venturing out into the world of real estate. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday as the year is whizzing by so far. School holidays, so I hope you're having fun with your kids if you're at home tuning in. Don't forget you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple and Samsung Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. We're also now up on YouTube as well, so do a search, you'll find us there. Big news this afternoon out from the government around pet bonds coming in for the rental space, so being able to charge up to 2 weeks' rent if you've got a pet in a rental property. So this is quite new for New Zealand, something that's been considered for many, many years, and also changes around what is fair wear and tear when it comes to pets. So hopefully we'll open up the door to more possibilities for renters. I certainly know when I was a property manager, though, if I had a tenant with a dog, they were my best tenants because they were always in fear of losing a property that was pet friendly. So they actually ended up being some of our best tenants we ever had. Now this week, I am joined by three fabulous people who are here to chat about their start of a career journey in sales, and they're all from Buffett and Thompson but from different branches. We've got Pani, who joins us, who's 3 months into the career from the Grey Lynn branch. Welcome along.
Thank you, Stephen.
It's great to have you here. We've got Rick, who's 5 months now at the Ponsonbury branch. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome, Stephen.
And Emma, you're the oldie in the group now, seven months from Buffett and Thompson QMU. So welcome along.
Thank you.
And Emma, I'll kick it off with you as the most experienced in the room. Tell us, what was your career journey before coming into real estate? And I'm curious, I guess, what you were doing and why did you choose to switch into real estate?
Yeah, So my background, I did a business and psych degree. I got into construction, fell into construction, I should say. I worked in construction for probably 20 years.
Yep.
Set up and ran quite a few building companies in New Zealand and overseas. And then I think it was finally my time. My kids are getting a bit older and I wanted to pursue something for myself and give myself a new challenge.
And does it help when you just made the comment the kids have got a bit older? Does that make life a little bit easier from a financial point of view? You've got to take some risks out there?
No, because they're very, very busy with all of their activities. But it gives me a bit more flexibility. They can look after themselves a lot more, giving me the time to be able to go do offers, et cetera, in the evenings.
Yeah, because it is an all-encompassing time factor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Real estate.
Yeah. Weekends.
Yeah, yeah. All right. She's still smiling, though. Pani, tell us, what was your career before coming into real estate?
I did my first selling when I was 6 years old. Sell the eraser and the ruler to my classmates.
Brilliant. And so you're at school, you've got your business going, rulers and erasers. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
The black market of stationery.
Yeah, okay. Under the table. I was a reporter in China for our biggest oil company and for the newspapers. And when I come to New Zealand, I turned into a marketing consultant.
Right.
Yeah. And all the things about is telling stories. And then I comes to tell the most expensive things story.
Yeah.
So real estate is the biggest challenge for me.
But you'd be bringing skills from those marketing careers and having to sort of report information into real estate? Like it would go hand in hand?
I think every step it works and it makes today's the scenes. I think everything grow up me, shape the today's me and the experiences.
I love that. Everything shaped you to who you're going to be today. Nice. Yeah. And Rick, what about you? Which career sort of industry have you travelled from?
Oh, lots of industries, but after university I pursued 15 years into retail, my own retail business.
Okay.
And then I fell into media, advertising, for another 15. And then I realised that I didn't want to be doing this advertising larky for the rest of my life. So I always wanted to get into real estate. And also I've got children, and they're at an age now that I can leave them on the weekends. They're still young, but independent young. And, yeah, it was just finally, I mean, Barfoot has been asking me to join for a few years. So finally I went, hey, guess what, guys?
Time to do it.
I'm doing it.
And is it useful to have had, I imagine, quite a client base and contacts and friends that you've made in the advertising world and in the retail world for this role? Like, does that give you a bit of a networking base?
It does help. I've got a huge network. Not saying the listings I've got have come necessarily off that network, but that's the key, is I guess the network and use it and work with them and talk to them a lot.
Nice. What do you all love about it so far? Like, what's the appeal? Is it the flexibility? Is it the money? Is it, you know, being in control of your own sort of world? What is it going around the table?
Yeah, definitely control of your own world. But I have really enjoyed meeting people and working closely with people that I might not normally meet in my day-to-day life and getting to know them.
Okay. Penny?
Yes, I totally agree with Emma that people make me here, because I still remember that my lecturer, Richard, told us that it's not about listing, it's about people. Mm-hmm. When the people trust you and they hug you and they told others about you, that's the most warm things to us, I think.
Okay, cool.
I think for me it's longevity. Something you can do and enjoy until it gets to a point where you can't breathe anymore.
Or don't need to.
Don't need to.
You've made enough. You've got the nice high rise in the Gold Coast.
Exactly.
And enjoying
but I think
retirement.
What it is the enthusiasm by the sellers and the buyers. Mm-hmm. This is quite rare from the sales game I've been in. You're always trying to shove something down someone's throat they don't really want, and you're trying to find an angle. With house selling and buying, it's like you want to sell and you want to buy, well, meet.
Yeah.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's been the biggest challenge to date for you since joining this?
Oh, the funny would be, before I ventured into real estate, I asked friends in the game, they said, the hardest thing you're going to do is get listings. So you need to make sure you get listings, otherwise it's going to be a long, slow journey and poorly paid. So I went into this game, right, got to get listings. Got all my listings, but I'm struggling to find the buyers to buy the listings.
Got to sell them. Mm.
Yeah. And is that the same for both of you? Is that one of the biggest challenges?
I think for me is to, because I bring the buyers, and for me it's how to read their needs. Mm-hmm. It's not what they are telling you about their needs. They sometimes they're hiding their needs. They don't recognize that they were hiding something behind, and you have to help them to have the courage to speak them out or to know it, to recognize it.
Interesting. Yeah. Emma, what's the biggest challenge for you so far?
I think mine's been getting listings.
Right. So you two need to talk.
Yeah.
I'm obviously in a rural.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know, so
true.
We have perhaps 1,500 listings that I might be able to get. There's a lot of established agents in my area as well. Whereas in the city, you might have, you know, a small suburb, and you've got 15,000 listings. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a different game.
Mm-hmm. Is it different to what you expected coming in, or were you kind of forewarned, forearmed?
No, I came into it with my eyes wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd been warned it could take 2 years to really get established, you know. So I came into it, you know, fair warning.
One of the toughest things is obviously financially you're coming in not earning a salary. Real estate's one of the few things left in the world that's, you know, 100% commission-based. How did you prepare yourself for that? Is it about putting a year's worth of savings away, or is it just having enough established in your life or your family situation to cope with a bit of a tough road for a bit?
Yeah.
I'll answer that. Yeah, because definitely having support of your partner is really important, because it's rocky. You know, if the money's not coming in, you know, relying on one income. Mm. But, yeah, definitely have money stashed away ready for this thing, or have a side hustle that doesn't interfere with real estate, knowing that eventually when you get established, real estate is going to provide everything for everyone.
All of the above.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Where would you like to see yourself in 5 to 10 years' time? So where's this journey heading for you? Is it, you know, just continuing to be successful and to sell in, or is it to have a team working with you or under you? How does that work? 5 to 10 years, crystal ball is out.
Definitely success. Well and truly established, really good brand, you know, my own brand in the area. I'd love to get a PA and just be selling, working with people and not doing that stuff anymore. Yeah. I've done that stuff for many years. You know, I'd like to just, be negotiating and,
Penny, what about you?
For me, because I'm interested in to get the contact with people, so I might work for my own, but I should have to grab someone like my husband to be my part-time job helper.
So are you focused more on getting buyers and then finding buyers their home rather than sort of listing the property and putting it on the market?
Yes, nowadays I choose to take the buyers because I have to know about the buyers' situation. And then when I talk with the vendor, I have the both sides.
Okay.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
A solution for our current problems.
Yeah.
Understand the buyer, not the seller.
Well, it was interesting last week chatting with Jeff and Leanne, the regional managers, and they talked about the old days of where you picked up your buyer first thing in the morning on a Saturday, you had them in the car for the day, and you drove them around till you found them a home, and by midnight or whatever, the paperwork was signed. But, you know, we live in this world now of social media and technology that I guess people are just zipping in and out. And I think our lives are also a lot busier. I mean, gone are the day of saying to anyone, everyone's free on a Saturday. I mean, just about everyone I know works or has sport or has something happening on the weekend. But I can imagine, Penny, for you, you know, being able to put the buyer in the car, lock the doors, have the conversation and drive around. There's some huge merit in there.
Actually, I should do it like that. But we always choose to drive different cars to there. Yeah, I think what I lock the buyers in my car is that I treat them like I have a sentence, treat the parents, the my friends like the normal one who can just came into the branch, and treat the others came through the branch door and like my parents, like my my best friend. So that's the way I treat them, so I think these things lock them there.
Nice. And Rick, where would you like to be 5 to 10 years' time?
Funny, of all the things I've done, I've had a lot of my own businesses, and I think this is the one I'd actually bring my children into and work with me. So, a bit of a tear there, but that's, you know, a bit of a legacy, dad and sons, kind of like Graham Wall and his sons, you know, so it's kind of like cool. And they can go off and do the OE and have some fun, but then they come back because they're going to join this team with dad and wherever we are, New Zealand, Auckland, Queenstown, you name it.
And we've seen a number of successful family models out there and playing to their strengths too, you know. If you were writing the advert for your job, so, you know, the next salesperson, what sort of skills or attributes do you think makes up a good salesperson? Like, I've asked managers this question, but to actually ask you doing it right from the coalface at the beginning, what would that ad need to say? What are the skills we need?
Be able to smile and talk to people.
Yep.
I think that's the biggest one you're going to get. Everyone, I'm finding, is afraid to door knock. And it's door knocking is just talking to people. Right, it doesn't mean it's going to physically knock on a door while in the cafe, the supermarket, go, oh, you've got a party this weekend, so you're buying lots of beer. Yep, we're thinking of, you know, roof party or something, I don't know. And then you're having the conversation, and it's being really subtle, but they get to know you.
Well, we love always asking back, oh, so what do you do? You know, so if you've already questioned them, they're going to at some point ask that question to open that door up.
You know, he glaringly says bathroom Thompson all over you.
I've got the umbrella, the jacket, the car, what about you, Emma? What do you think would be some of the attributes?
I think being a genuine person is what really motivates me. I like feeling like you're with real people and it's not put on. And that person really cares about helping you find their home or about selling their house for them. I like being straight up and honest and not putting on a salesperson facade. I've never wanted to be the car salesman.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And because that can put people off big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. And maybe, again, being out rural, people call it...
A bit more real?
Well, no. I mean, you know, there's real people in the city too. But, you know, I think people just tend to be a lot more low-key.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were now, and I don't want to make this sound like a TV commercial because it's not what this is about, but I'm curious, if you were, I guess, selling why people should choose Barfoot and Thompson over another company to buy or to sell their property, or why choose them to come and work for, what are your key points? So if we focus on buying and selling first, just from your short time in here, what are the things that you would be saying, hey, this is the reason why you need to choose this company?
Okay, so there's lots of real estate companies, you know, and there's only about three or four that really stand out. Barfoot's one of them. I think what I liked about Barfoot was everyone seemed, no matter what branch they are, everyone's friendly and great towards you. And I straight away felt I was part of a family, part of a vision.
Nice.
Not just, I've joined a franchise, make as much money as you can, go for the next best offer, move around.
Right.
I see, you know, I do see a lot of people being sitting with Barfoot for so many years. And then Barfoot's 100 years old, and someone looking at being there for 30 years. My goodness, it's almost one of the, you know, founders of Barfoot. And they're doing really well. So it's great to see that, because you look at some, I'm not mentioning your names, but they move around a lot. And obviously they're chasing the salaries or whatever.
It's a bit more security.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Barfoot's in the training, unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know? Why do you have to go and do a real estate thing? You can come to Barfoot and learn everything on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, that Ollie is amazing.
Yeah. Mm. And that equips you to be a better salesperson for your customer.
And the people you can talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
Help, I'm stuck. Yeah. What do I do here?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Penny, why choose Barfoot and Thompson?
Because Penny is here. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Someone told me that the listing and the buyer is like the sleeper, the left sleeper and the right one. If you imagine a blue left sleeper, there would have a blue right one. And I think Barfoot is like the one who can help you to find the right one. And we have 1,800 or more than that people help you. The hands can help you to find the right sleeper for you. Yeah. So that's the reason.
Nice. You have some lovely analogies that you bring up. But I like that comment too about the numbers. So I guess there's a big team of people that can help find you because they have got it all covered. Anything you would add, Emma?
I think for me the training has been huge. The training, the support. We are constantly updated with new laws, new regulations. So we are really, really up to date with how to sell the property in the best way and all of the regulations surrounding it. So I think it makes you a better agent,
right?
Perhaps,
and supported once you're in there,
and very supported. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you what training did you have to do before even coming in? Like, take me back to the journey of actually sort of knocking on the door, I guess, at Barfoot and Thompson QMU and going, "Hey, I want to be your agent." Like, how? What did you have to do to get to that stage? If someone's listening, going, "Is this a career path for me?"
So I got kind of snuck in as an admin for the Waimauku branch.
Clever.
So I had heard that they were looking for an admin, really wasn't certain that I wanted to take it, to be honest, and went down there, met with the manager, and she was fantastic. And I was like, everyone here is super cool, manager's great, yeah, I could do this. And then I sort of sat there doing my admin work, looking at the agents going, yeah, I could do that too. So that's how I got into, I guess, you know, I didn't have to go knock on an agency door.
Did you need to get your real estate license before starting at the branch, into the sales role, I mean?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I did that while I was in the admin role.
So how long did that take? That's online?
Yes, online. I think it took me, I kind of powerhoused it, so I think it took me about 8 weeks.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I kind of honed through it.
Cool.
The other two are nodding. So obviously took a little bit longer down the sun.
I was distracted.
But did both of you, you had to get that before you started in the branch?
Of course.
Yeah. So even though I didn't have my, I was still waiting for one to come through. I was ready, met Peter and everyone said to come on board. So I was one of the few Barford employees with a Gmail address until finally the REA thing came through. And
right.
And then I could actually actively, I couldn't do anything, couldn't do real estate stuff.
Yeah.
I could observe and, you know, do, but I couldn't do an appraisal or.
Right.
I just had to get my paperwork ready. And as soon as that ticket arrived, bang, 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 bang.
Wow.
You were in. Nice. You kind of answered that double question because you talked about the training, the support. So I guess, you know, why choose Barford & Thompson to be a company of choice to work in? You've answered that as well from both angles. What about when it comes to technology? Where are we sitting in this space? Like in the last few weeks on here, we've had realestate.co.nz in here. We've talked about AI and the good and the bad that it's adding out there. Where are you guys sitting with technology? Have you had to brush up or have you been pretty good in that space?
Well, I'll start because obviously when I started and if you look on the app that we got, I was like, oh my God, there's so many things. What do you use? And I've been told, don't touch this, don't touch that, just wait for this, wait for that. And the stuff that I've been allowed to touch, it's been amazing. Like the new Agent Box thing, it's fantastic. It's put in some phone number.
What is Agent Box for our listeners?
So basically it's you use it, so it's when people come to an open home, you put in their phone number and if they've been to a Barford open home, all the information pops up. So you can see what sort of buyer they are, what they're looking for, any notes on it, but it just saves time. And they always feel like, oh, I'm already in. Yep, in you go. And then also after that, you can all the documents and all the communication, and there's a lot of things that are automated you can do with Agent Box, which I think is pretty cool. I'm still learning it, so it's still like, oh, do I push this button? Not too soon yet. Too late. Oh, well.
And you've brought a house.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Or not sorry.
Yeah. What about both of you? Where have you sat in this technology space? Are you keeping up with the change?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Have we got our videos out? Have we done our selfie videos yet?
Oh, love videos.
Love videos.
They're my favourite.
Am I going to find you all on TikTok? Andy, what about you for technology?
Yeah, I think we have the lockbox. The lockbox, very fancy one. I think I've told lots of buyers and vendors. If we have somebody grab some buyers comes to this property, even the listing agent is not there or the vendor is not there, they can grab the keys and get through the door. And for the vendor side, they can see who grabbed who,
right,
comes to here and for how long and return the keys. And
so like a digital time stamp on the key box, taking the key.
Yeah, very smart one. And that will give the property more chance and give the buyers more chance, I think. Very smart. Yeah.
Nice. All right, let's talk about the areas that you work in now. So your specific areas. So, Rick, you're in Ponsonby. Mm-hmm. So we've got a mixture of, I'm guessing, houses, units of all ages, modern and lovely, beautiful homes from yesteryear, through to apartment buildings and things.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself working in a specific niche market on that, or do you go, no, I'm across everything?
Right at the moment, I'm across everything because I'm always trying to find my feet and find out what I'm good at. So I've got apartments from Ockham for 600,000, and I've got a waterfront and property that's going for 11 to 12 mil. So it's a massive range, and you're dealing with different people and all of them, different needs. Like someone who's going to afford a $12 million home is different from the person who's going to buy a second apartment. So it's just trying to find where I fit the best in. You know, do I fit in that nice $2 million, $3 million mark in Ponsonby, or am I going to be doing better on the high-end stuff? You sell less of it, but two or three of those a year, you're sweet. Or am I going to focus on the under-mill part, and that's where you just have to churn it a bit more to survive?
Okay.
So I don't know yet, but it's all there.
And what if an investor is listening somewhere around the world? We've got lots of listeners listening to our podcast overseas that own property here or down in the South Island. Where does Ponsonby sit from an investment point of view? Like, is this a good area to buy a property to rent out and get a good return?
Absolutely. So the rental department at Ponsonby is chock-a-block. It's really busy. So clearly that's a money-making situation for Barfoot Ponsonby. So clearly, I think there's lots of property being sold and marketed that is being turned into, obviously, rental property rather than someone buying to put their kids in.
Yeah, interesting. And I guess such a central location for anyone working in town, close to motorways, it ticks all those boxes. Penny, you're just down the road from Ponsonby at Grey Lynn, and no fighting you two. Is it similar for you, similar sort of area?
I think we are neighbours, so similar, but Green Lynn is, I think, is more reasonable because they...
It's all happening now.
Yeah, and I believe the houses all have the souls, and the Green Lynn one will have the personality, the soul will like the old lady, very gorgeous, and it's like very, very soft one.
A bit smelly because they're rotting.
easier than Ponsonby lady.
Homes with souls, I love it. I love it. You like the storytelling, don't you?
Yes.
Do you research your homes, the stories behind the houses?
I just got my second sold last month, and I sold my neighbor's house to my neighbor. And actually, they are living in...
Your neighbor's house
to
your neighbor on the other side?
On the other side. And actually, they just the same street, same side, and just 2 minutes away from each other. And very interesting. And the vendor, it was 1.52 million, and the buyer was looking for like 700,000 things.
Wow.
And you would never imagine that the buyer would walk in this kind of 1.6 million house to have a look. So that's the agent do.
Must be a good neighborhood. People want to stay in it.
Yes, very good one. Very good personality.
Good soul.
I love stories behind homes. Many, many years ago now, my kids were only, I don't know, early teens, and we saw our old family home on the market that I grew up in as a child. And we grew up in we're a large family. There was 10 of us at home, good Catholic family. And we had an upstairs, downstairs type house, and I saw it on the market. And I messaged the agent, who was a Barfoot & Thompson agent, Michael Cassidy from Blockhouse Bay at the time. And I said, look, this is a bit weird. I want to come to your open home, but I don't want to buy the house. But I actually just want to bring my kids through and tell some of the stories. Would it be a pain if we popped in right at the end? And he said, absolutely not. Tell your whole family, always welcome. Stay as long as you like. It's the last one of the day. So anyway, I messaged my brothers and sister and my parents and said, look, this is what I'm doing if anyone wanted to come. No one replied. Rocked on up. Said to him, oh, thanks so much, and went in and started looking around. Next minute, looked out the window and he said, oh, look, I'll just let you wander because I've got a whole lot of people coming up the drive. This place has suddenly got quite popular. I looked down and I said, oh, really sorry. That's my entire family. They'd all responded. That's my brothers, sisters, their kids, grandkids, my parents. And he was so lovely because no one was there to buy. And he could have easily just done a quick walk through. But he literally said, walk around. It was all staged. Walk around, take your time. And he said, then I want you all to meet in the lounge. So everyone looked around and then met in the lounge. And he sat there and he said, I want every single person that lived in this house to tell me your favourite memory. Because he said, I want to know the stories to sell the next people. Absolutely brilliant. And brilliant from him because he built such a rapport with probably 30 people in that moment, and how cool it was for us to explain our stories to the kids. And I remember my brother saying to his kids, you know, this is where I used to sneak out at night and mum didn't know, and then mum would go, we always knew, we always knew, we always waited till you were back, we just didn't deal with it. It was lovely. Alright, so heading to Cumu, and quite a rural setting, but also, you know, you've got normal suburb setting there as well. You've got quite a mix up there. What's happening in your space?
So, yes, we have Huapai, very popular for young families, retired couples as well. And then we have a heck of a lot of rural. We have some good investment apartments, terrace apartments being built out there at the moment. And we have that right through to really high-end, beautiful, luxury lifestyle properties.
Because it's been an area that's had a lot of development.
Huge
in the last few
development.
Years. I mean, you used to drive to Cumu and it was just farm, and the lovely strawberry farms on the side that you could get your frozen ice cream. There was a petrol station and then it was just 80 or 100 k's and then we got into Cumu, where now it's these massive subdivisions.
Yes.
And we mustn't forget, at the gateway of it all, Costco.
Oh. And a second Costco going in, apparently, across the road from Costco.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, is that because they're so busy?
I don't know.
Wow, wow. Good for the industry up there. So for you, have you grown up in that space, in that world, to understand the rural side versus more residential?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Auckland, around the Auckland city suburbs, but I have lived out around Waimalco for quite some time. Live in a rural property myself. I got my lifestyle license as well, so I'm able to sell rural property now, which is, I think, going to be a huge game changer for me.
So when you say lifestyle license, for someone listening, what's the difference? Did that teach you?
Within Barfoot's, residential people can sell residential property. They can't sell rural properties because there's a lot of differences. Things to know, I guess, there's septic tanks, there's water tanks, there's fencing, there's paddocks, there's, you know, all sorts of things. So pays to, I guess, have a specialist on board that can advise. It's an interesting market out there because there are some homes that would fit right into Remuera, Parnell, you know, these beautiful Cokesville properties. Mm-hmm. Through the back of Waimalco, there's really, really crazy, beautiful properties that you'd never know were there because they're down long right of ways with beautiful trees and, you know, so we've got a huge mix out there.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And for all of you, what sort of tips that price up if someone's thinking of selling their home? Is it very much the local school zone? Is it the swimming pool, the garage? So what is it? Like, we've interviewed property managers recently who are very clear, you know, have the dishwasher, have the garage. Those are key things and every investor should look for. What about for just selling?
I get people going, oh, wow, this property has a bore. Woohoo!
Brilliant.
You know, we're all on tank water out there. We've got two girls. They use, they use up that water pretty quickly. School zone, eh?
School zone, play a part.
Yeah.
In the era I'm in Ponsonby's, I've got to do positioning of the sun.
Oh.
They all want nice sunny backyards.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And car parking and garages is all key things.
Which Greyland and Ponsonby, you've got a real mix. You have got properties that are very much on those windy old roads. The house is built up right towards the verge, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So having a
water.
Yeah.
Everyone is looking for near the
flood
water.
Thing. Hang on, it's got a slight angle. The place will flood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hasn't flooded in 100 years. Yeah. Why would it flood now? Yeah. But definitely off-street parking, garaging, backyard with sun. They're really important things.
Yeah.
So what advice, Penny, we'll start with you, what advice would you give someone who's selling their home to get their home ready? What are all the things they need to think about?
I think it's know your property well. Because I found somebody who is planning to sell and they know few things about their property, even for the land error or there's something hiding behind, they know. Especially when they rent it out and they will forgot lots of things after several years.
Right.
Yeah, and I think they have to know. It's like the kids. The parents have to know your kids very well and then we can help him or her find a good friend. Yeah. If you don't know about your kids, how can we know well about them?
Yeah. Okay. Emma, advice for someone selling their home and needing to get it ready?
I think decluttering is really good. You know, allow people to actually see the spaces. Staging. You know, even partial staging can really lift.
So staging's where we're renting in like a couch, table,
suite, some artwork, or they're zhuzhing the beds, you know, things like that. Cut back trees, you know, allow the light into the space. Maintenance, painting, whip a little bit of paint, you know,
goes a long way.
Yeah.
Presentation,
yeah.
Especially in this market. I always think to tell the sellers, would you buy this house in this current situation? Would you pay the money that you want for this house? You haven't water blasted it, the weeds are growing out, the rubbish in the corner. You know,
you want top dollar.
You want top dollar. Yeah. So present it well, because we're going to bring the buyers through this role of marketing, and we're going to talk, you know, and help them. But if their eyes see a mess, they go very hard for them to visualise it tidy.
Yeah. You mentioned staging it. If you're selling it, are you better to move out during the open home period and make it look lovely rather than just live in it? Like in the old days, no one ever staged. We all lived in it and people came through. But there is a sense that that's changed a little bit.
I don't know. I think a home that's not lived in, like to refer to, kind of loses its soul a little bit. Sometimes it can feel a bit cold.
So just declutter it and make it look presentable.
Yeah. Present it well.
We have a client, Clinton. He told me a word, emotion. And he said even he lives in there, he will prepare the private view or open home for us. Even I saw some veg have been cut there and some boiled soup there. You will smell and feel the things when you go there, when you first step in the room, the emotion will be very good to buy the property.
Yeah. Are we still baking bread and putting the coffee on?
I did that. I sold my first house.
Brilliant.
The smell.
And what about buyers, when we're taking buyers around, what should they be looking for?
I think, they're looking for emotion, right? We want them to be have some emotion in the thing. So I try and get them to visualise them living in the house, you know, and that's it. If they haven't walked out the door in 2 seconds, sometimes buyers come in and go straight out. So, but if you get them in there long enough, you start on questions like, where would you put the barbecue? Where would you hang the TV?
Yeah.
You know, they start thinking, which kid would go in which room?
So they're making that movie in their mind of their stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Johnny will go in this room, little girl will go in that room.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else that you'd suggest to buyers?
I think look for a well-maintained home. You know? Someone who's loved it.
Yeah.
For me, I always ask them to think about seriously, what's the problem you want to solve?
That's a good one.
Yeah, the problem, the zooms can be 3 or 4, can be 2, but the problem is the problem you want to solve. And if we set this goal here, you want to solve this problem, and then we won't change it. And then you will listen to the GPS. That's me. They will go to another runway and forgot the problem when they saw lots of pretty houses there. And then I will say, we are planning to go there to solve your problem. And then listen to the GPS.
Brilliant. Listen to the GPS. Yeah.
Love it. Look, we are right out of time. As we're coming to an end, you get 20 seconds. Why should we choose you? If someone's listening, Emma, why should they choose you as a young, new sales agent to look after their property for sale?
Well, I am enthusiastic. I am honest. I genuinely adore helping people and want to find somebody their new home that they're going to fall in love with.
Beautiful.
Take the time to get to know families and people and make a good match.
Nice. Panny, your 20 seconds.
Okay, I'm unique.
You're unique.
Yeah, and my clients and customers always say that if you want to feel the service that beyond the moon, call Panny.
Brilliant. Henry?
I'll be the guy that will climb over hot coals to make your sale happen.
Fabulous. We could talk for ages. We've run out of time really quickly. I absolutely loved you coming in here today. Thank you. I'd love to track your journey. So when we come back for season 5 towards the end of the year, I'm going to pull you back in and see how's the year tracked for you and how's it gone, because I'd love to know and be part of that. If you'd like to get in touch with any of these guys, head to barfoot.co.nz. You can go /Graylin, Ponsonby or QMU, and it'll bring up their staff list and all their their contact details. And if you meet Panish, might even give you a little panda like we got today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Love having you guys here. We're taking a break next week. We've got a Best Bits show looking back at season 4 because I'm off doing a different thing next Monday. So I'll catch you the week after. Have a fabulous week out there. Stay safe. Take care.